I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. I almost just forgot what I was going to say.
Your name?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant piping in.
Yep.
And there's Jerry.
The trio.
Yeah.
The trifecta.
And this terrible IKEA lamp.
You think?
Well, we are getting a little heat off of it right now, which is nice.
Did you ever see that IKEA commercial about the lamp that was thrown out on the street?
No.
It was really good.
Well, what happened to it? Was it like the monkey at the IKEA?
No, it was like a lamp gets thrown out with like someone's just redoing parts of their apartment, and the lamp is
kicked to the curb, as it were?
Computer animated, so it's human formed.
Okay.
Not human formed, what am I saying?
Anthropogenic?
Yeah.
Anthropomorphized.
And like looks up at the apartment that he was just thrown out of and stuff like that.
Does he go back to Sweden?
I don't remember how it ends. Huh. I don't even know.
You just remember the lamp like turns all human?
It was sad. It was like sad.
Okay.
I got teared up.
Did you go buy one of those lamps?
No, of course not.
The ad didn't work?
No.
So I guess you're feeling pretty good since you're talking about lamps and everything.
You know me and lamps.
I do.
That means it's a good day.
It's a clear signal. Chuck's in a good mood, everybody. You know one of the reasons why you're in a good mood? Because your guts are functioning properly.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah. You know me. It's day to day.
Yeah.
With my stomach.
Well, that's exactly right. Things change very quickly.
Yeah.
Because of your stomach, and your stomach can affect your mood. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of the serotonin, which is a mood-stabilizing neurotransmitter, is produced in your gut.
Yeah.
And the way that things like serotonin and other stuff is produced is thanks to our microbiome, dude.
Yeah.
Our microbiome. This is the most fascinating thing going on in medicine science right now.
Yeah, I get the impression reading various articles when scientists talk about it, they all seem really pumped up.
It's like the breakthrough of the 21st century. And this thing like just started. It's 2014.
Yeah.
And like this could remain the breakthrough of the century.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think about the timeline up until the 20th century, you were like a plant or an animal.
Right.
And then it was literally like the 1950s and 60s that they started saying maybe we should break things down a little further, and right. They came up with the five kingdoms. And
right.
I think there now even is a sixth kingdom.
Well, there's three domains now.
Yeah.
Eight kingdoms.
Oh, there's eight?
There's eight. And two of the domains account for two of the kingdoms as well, bacteria and archaea.
Yeah.
And archaea used to be thought that they were the same as bacteria.
Yes.
Then they started looking into them a little more, and they're like, oh, these guys are made up of different amino acids, and they have different characteristics. And archaea, for example, are the kind of microbial life that you'll only find around undersea hot water sulfur vents.
Yeah, like
volcanoes.
Crazy places. Not in your vagina or in your mouth.
Well, no, because they're extremophiles, and a vagina or a mouth isn't that extreme.
Well, it is, because archaea lives there.
That's right. So the fact that we figured out that archaea are different than bacteria, and not only that they don't just live in extreme environments, but also on the human body, that was something we can thank the Human Microbiome Project for.
Yeah, and that wasn't, I think they didn't even discover archaea till the 1970s. So this, all this stuff is brand new.
Right.
And exciting.
And by the way, the three domains are bacteria, archaea, and eukaryotes, which are us.
Yes.
We're eukaryotes because we have nuclei.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, man. We have before, I'm sure you remember, in the fecal transplant episode.
Yes.
Because it definitely factors into it. You can...
poop shakes.
Yeah. You can cure Clostridium difficile, which is something where that it's a gut microbe that's very harmful to humans that can colonize your guts after you take antibiotics.
Yeah.
Which is basically just like a slash and burn approach. Which again, thanks to the Human Microbiome Project, we're starting to understand, yeah, we might want to use antibiotics because what we used to just think of as almost entirely bad are actually mostly beneficial.
Sure.
And even some of the bad bacteria, aka germs, are actually present in our microbiome and normally live in harmony.
Yeah.
It just appears that when the microbiome gets out of whack, that's when disease happens.
Yeah, like you may have E. coli in your body right now.
Yeah, I probably do.
But it's not a big deal if you're, well, we just talk about stasis.
Homeostasis.
Yeah, keeping things balanced in life is the key.
Yes.
And it's definitely the key with your own personal microbiome, which we have learned is very individualized, which we'll get to with the project.
Right. So if you take a human body and you scanned all the genes in it, what you would find is there are about 100 times more microbial genes than human genes in a genetic scan of a human body.
Yeah. Our human cells only make up about 10% of the cells in the body. And here's another great stat. We actually, the healthiest person on the planet has between 2 and 5 pounds of bacteria. Pounds.
Yeah, of your body weight, about up to 5 pounds is accounted for. Yes. What's crazy is that that's even considering that microbial cells are anywhere from a tenth to a hundredth the size of an average human cell.
Yeah. So do you know how much 5 pounds would have to?
That adds up to quite a few.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there's an estimated 100 trillion microbes on an average human person. Just in, on, and a part of. Such a part of us and our normal functioning that we're finding very quickly that they're pretty much interchangeable. They are one with us, and as their host, we are kind of one with them.
Yeah, like you have fungus on your skin.
Yeah.
No big deal, right?
Well, that's another thing, too, we should talk about. When people say microbe, it's kind of a catch-all word for...
Tiny.
Yeah, any tiny, typically unicellular life, and that's the case here, too. But it doesn't just mean bacteria. The human microbiome is made up of lots of bacteria and lots and lots of different types of bacteria. For example, the mouth may have up to 5,000 different species of bacteria.
Yeah, and they're not just lazing around in your body. Like, they are responsible for keeping your body in check. Or, sometimes responsible for it being out of whack.
Right.
But they're all doing something or laying there waiting to do something.
You also have a, what's called a virome. You have viruses in your microbiome and they appear to be present to keep the bacteria populations, from getting out of control. Like they're there to infect bacteria, to kill them off. And it's kind of like, they're the lions to the gazelles of the microbiome.
Okay.
You take away the lions, you got too many gazelles.
Yeah.
They all start to starve. They don't function correctly. They may even eat each other. You don't want to see a gazelle eat another gazelle. So you have lions there, and the lions, these apex predators, keep the gazelle population in check and ultimately healthy, paradoxically.
Yeah, true.
It's the same thing with the virome in your microbiome.
Yeah, I mean, we know they aid, like, gut bacteria aids digestion, and we'll get to gut bacteria more. I mean, they're discovering just all kinds of things it affects.
Right.
Synthesized vitamins. When you poop in the toilet, and you look at your poop, which you should do, by the way, and, like, on a regular basis. How much is it? Is it half?
I've seen anywhere from a third to half.
So a third to half of that is microbial biomass. It's not food.
No, it's like dead and living bacteria.
Yeah.
That you're pooping out.
Yeah, about half. Half.
I saw something that was kind of mind-blowing, too. It's really neat and accurate, especially on a microbial level.
All right.
To imagine your alimentary system, your digestive system.
Yeah.
As the inside of that is technically outside of your body. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
You have a hole, a trail running through the middle of your body.
Yeah. That attaches to the outside world.
That's technically the outside.
Yeah, I guess I see what you mean.
Just chew on it for a minute.
Yeah.
Like the inside of your digestive system is technically the outside of your body. Like, ain't here? That's outside of your body.
Yeah. It's confusing.
It is, but once your head wraps around it, it's like one hand clapping kind of thing.
Right.
And you're just like, whoa, that is neat.
All right. So that's, I guess, the briefest of overviews of microbes and bacteria, which we've talked about ad nauseum on the show.
Yeah.
In our Great Digestion podcast. That was one of my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. And then we've already talked about the poop shakes. So the National Institutes of Health came up with a plan, got some money together, and said, let's try and do what the Human Genome Project did. Let's try and map out the human microbiome, which is a very tough task because everyone is different.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Everyone's microbiome is different. And I just saw today it was released from University of Michigan. They've kind of already determined there is no such thing as a baseline healthy microbiome.
Yeah, and that was one of the goals of this project that was started in 2007 was that to establish a baseline microbiome.
Yeah.
Like they didn't know what one looked like. Like they knew that people had tons of bacteria and protozoa and viruses all over us and in us, but what is that supposed to look like? And when you figure out what it's supposed to look like, then you can figure out what an unhealthy one looks like.
Yeah.
And then possibly how to correct that by adjusting this microbial ecosystem back to a baseline. But I'm not surprised that they found that there isn't a baseline, that it's just too different.
And that doesn't mean that they can't like learn a lot and help us out a lot. What they're basically saying is you take a dozen completely healthy people and their microbiomes are going to be completely different still.
Yeah. And there was, there is one huge revolution in the study of bacterial or microbial life.
Yeah.
That made this project possible. Same with the human genome, but, much more for this. It's called metagenomics. And prior to the advent of metagenomics, if you wanted to study bacteria, you had to find a bacteria that could be replicated, cloned.
Cultured.
In a laboratory setting. And this accounted for just a very, very small fraction of the number of microbes out there. What's more, so not only did you not have a representative sample, but you also didn't have any kind of anything less than an artificial setting. So even if you did get these microbes, if you could replicate them, in the lab, they weren't going to behave the way they would in their natural setting, like on your body. So what metagenomics did was you can now take like a representative sample, say like a clump of soil or a swab of somebody's earfold, and get all of the microbes in there. And then basically just do this rough scan of them, separate all the DNA out, add these enzymes that go and clip coherent fragments of this DNA out, and then you take it and you put it into what's called a model organism, and that model organism starts to replicate as cells, and then each cell displays a certain characteristic associated with a different microbe. So all of a sudden, you can start studying the different cells and say, oh, well, this has to do with this microbe, and this means that this protozoa is present, and so on and so forth. And now you can get a truly representative sample of what's in a microbiome. And without metagenomics, like this, none of this would be possible.
Yeah.
But now we're starting to find all sorts of new, not just information, but even new species of bacteria and protozoa and fungi from the study of this stuff.
Which is a great thing.
It is a great thing. And we'll explain why it's a great thing right after this break. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey.
You know me.
Yeah.
I'm a snack guy.
Yeah.
I love snacks.
You do.
I also love convenient snacks.
Well, I've got some news for you then, my friend.
What?
Nature Box.
Oh, yes. I love Nature Box.
You want convenient snacks. We're talking healthy and great tasting snacks. Like, have you ever had the PB&J granola?
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. I also love the salted caramel pretzel pops, which are awesome. They're like basically four different great things all mixed together. And I have to admit I'm addicted to the sriracha roasted cashews.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the great thing about all that is there are zero trans fats, zero high fructose corn syrup, and nothing artificial, my friend.
That's right. There's also snacks that are gluten conscious and non-GMO. Plus, Chuck, like we said, it's convenient. You can get NatureBox shipped right to your door by heading over to naturebox.com.
Yeah, and it's free shipping.
Anywhere in the U.S., baby.
That's right. So we have a special deal. As if that wasn't good enough, you can try NatureBox right now and get 50% off your first box by going to naturebox.com/stuff.
Yep.
That's naturebox.com/stuff.
Stay full, stay strong. Go to naturebox.com/stuff. That's naturebox.com/stuff. Okay, we're back.
All right, so now I guess we can talk about some of these great findings, some of the newest findings in the last, what year is it?
Well, they started in 2007.
Yeah, 7 years old.
And it seems like the first crop of, like, amazing stuff started in about 2012.
Yeah, so after they had categorized things and got, like, thrown all the crawfish out on the table.
Right, and the corn.
Yeah.
The little corn's good.
Have you ever done that?
I've had that before, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, go to a big party.
There's a place in, on Buford Highway called, the Crawfish Shack.
I've heard of that, but I haven't been. Do they do it like that? Do they just dump it on the table and
it's
eat
all
it?
Picnic tables. No, it's in like bowls and stuff that. But it's all picnic tables inside.
Yeah.
And, just huge rolls of paper towels. And it's, dude, that place is so good.
Yeah. I guess you can't do that as a restaurant, but if you go to a true crawfish boil at someone's home, you have the picnic table covered with the plastic thing and you just dump it on the table. And everyone just stands around like a bunch of animals.
Right.
Getting drunk and eating, like, sucking the heads of crawfish.
My family used to do something similar to that when I was little in Toledo. We would eat, my dad called it garbage pail stew.
Yeah.
Are you familiar?
Is it like all the leftovers?
No. Like you use a trash can to make it.
Oh. Right? Never heard of it.
Over like a flame.
Okay.
And obviously you use a new trash can.
Sure.
Like a brand new one. So I guess, when Dad got a new trash can, we would have garbage pail stew.
Like
anyway.
A metal trash can?
It was, yes.
Okay.
It was more like a, no, the plastic just added this
I'm just trying to, like one of the big, large ones?
Right. Yeah. One of the old timey ones.
What kind of flame you got in your house?
I don't remember what he cooked it on.
Interesting.
I don't, like in my mind's eye, I can't look down. I can just see,
right.
I can just see the kind of the top of it. But anyway, it was like a Yankee Northern Midwestern version of it. So there was like lots of cabbage in it and like kielbasa and stuff like that. But it was essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
And you would eat it on like newspaper.
I can't wait to get emails from people who are like, we did that same thing.
I've looked around. I've never seen it since.
I'm sure that, yeah, that sounds like a thing that,
or,
although your dad is a very unique person.
Insane is the way to put it.
All right, so back to the project and the findings. One of the things they've learned is that periodontitis, this is gum disease, some bacteria are elevated if you have periodontitis. So that's going to give you a little insight to maybe how you can better take care of your mouth, what kind of bacteria you need in there, what kind you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And like, for example, Streptococcus mutans is responsible for cavities. So you want to take care of your Streptococcus mutans. The thing is, Chuck, that reading this made me wonder, like, are we going to go the other direction now where it's like we understand that you can't just use antibiotics to get rid of everything?
Yeah.
But if we identify bacteria that's like, oh, well, that one gives you cavities. Let's get rid of all of that and find some sort of medicine that just gets rid of that.
Right.
It could make things even worse in a whole other direction.
Yeah.
Like, one thing that I figured out from this is that the microbiome appears to exist in balance.
Yeah.
Like stuff that should make us sick, E. coli,
right.
Kinds of strep, staph, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it exists on a healthy person's microbiome and it's just hanging out there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that they're inherently disease causing for us or that they're inevitably disease causing. Apparently, if they exist in harmony with their neighbors, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And we can't just root out just ones that make us sick and get rid of those because I think it'll have repercussions.
But we might have a future where instead of an antibiotic, you actually take a bacteria that will attack the other bacteria, the bad stuff.
Right. Exactly. Like that, as long as we're not intervening and going after a specific bacteria,
yeah,
if we can aid the bacteria, like you say, that will fight it naturally, like by eating some sort of sugary paste, you know?
Or probiotics. I mean, that's what that is, right?
Yeah.
And they're all the rage.
That's an issue that's being examined in more detail thanks to the microbiome. Like, do probiotics work?
Yeah.
And apparently the jury's still out.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
in theory, they should work.
Yeah.
But it depends on, you know, whether these things are actually colonizing your guts. And also, I have the impression that it's like you don't really know what you're doing when you're adding like all these new people to the neighborhood.
Yeah, and because everyone's microbiome is so different, some one probiotic for one person might be great, and mm-hmm. for another person might not do anything, or may make things worse. I don't know.
Yeah, which is another goal of the Human Microbiome Project, that if we start to understand, you know, what a colony, maybe there's not a normal colony for yeah. everybody, but what an individual's normal colony looks like,
right?
Then you can take blood or samples
yeah.
and make adjustments based specifically on what you need right there.
Yeah,
it could be the end of pharmaceutical drugs.
Yeah.
Conceivably.
I know they're doing a lot of research into how your gut bacteria affects obesity and your weight. They have found obese mice and transferred microbes from their gut into skinny mice, and the skinny mice gained weight. And there's just type in gut bacteria and obesity, and there are a lot of studies going on now thinking that maybe correcting your gut bacteria could actually help you help your metabolism, you know, straighten out.
Right. Like they think the bacteria itself directly informs how the body uses or stores energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that blew me away was there's a type of bacteria that helps break down milk in humans.
Oh, yeah.
And typically it's in the gut. But as a woman advances in pregnancy, some of it moves down to the vagina.
Yeah.
And at first, the researchers who found this were like, well, what's the deal with that? And then they figured it out, they think.
Yeah.
When a baby is born and it passes through the vagina, it basically becomes covered in this bacteria,
yeah.
ingests some of it, and that bacteria goes down and colonizes the baby's guts and prepares it almost immediately to start breaking down breast milk.
Yeah, evidently, brand new babies are just sponges, and like they're experimenting with cesarean sections to just swab. Like after you have the cesarean section, you bring the baby out, mm-hmm. swab it with vaginal mucus.
Yeah.
And basically it just soaks right into the skin and maybe have the same result.
Right. Or swab their mouth or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another way, and I guess that's kind of related too, is, with the immune system. Apparently the microbiome acts as kind of like a teacher to the early immune system.
Yeah.
And says like, hey, these are the good ones. These are the bad ones. Why don't you go ahead and produce some T killer cells or killer T cells?
Yeah.
But not too many. We'll just go ahead and keep the homeostasis going. And they basically like teach a young immune system how to operate at an optimal level. And they found that by engineering mice that are like totally germ free,
yeah.
their immune systems have a tendency to go crazy. Like they'll become inflamed in the presence of what are, say, non-harmful fungi.
Yeah.
They'll become so inflamed that they'll damage the surrounding tissue, or they'll have like irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
Or Crohn's disease, they think also is a flux state of the microbiome in the gut. So apparently it directly impacts the immune system as well, which, my friend, lends a lot of weight to the hygiene hypothesis.
Yeah, that's basically the notion that here in the West and even in developing countries now, children are seeing such a decrease in infection when they're kids mm-hmm. that when they grow up, they have an increased number of allergies and maybe autoimmune issues.
Yeah.
And you kind of see it playing out, you know?
Right.
Like, it's a real thing. Like, if you're slathering your child with Purell, you're not doing them any favors.
Right. So
they may have asthma later on because of that.
Exactly. And they're coming to think that it's because of just a stunted growth of the microbiome.
Yeah. And I think they found now even, they think they have a direct link between your gut bacteria and allergies. So if you get hay fever, mm-hmm. it may be because of your gut bacteria.
Right. And it makes just utter and complete sense, too.
Yeah.
Like your body has been exposed to these things early on, learned that they're not harmful, and no longer produces antibodies as a result of their presence.
Yeah.
Because that's all an allergy is. It's a case of mistaken identity. Your immune system thinks that pollen or something is a harmful foreign invader and launches your immune response.
Pretty cool. Some of the other interesting things they found so far is that there wasn't a single microbe that everyone had in the study.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. And that microbes are most similar on the same site of different people. So like you and I have more similar microbes in our armpit, even though we're different people.
Right. Then your microbes in your armpit has to do with your belly button.
Yeah. Gross.
Ours are more similar than the ones in different places on your body.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
And different microbes can do completely different things. Like the way you digest food might use one microbe and I might use another, or that same microbe might have a completely different function in you than it does in me.
Right.
So it's so personalized. It's like, it feels like the beginning of like hyper personalized medicine.
I think it is.
In the future.
I definitely think it is. I think it's also the beginning of a kinder, gentler approach to treating disease.
Yeah.
All disease. Like it's entirely possible, especially if you take a brain based view of mental illness. It's possible that every bit of disease can be cured by understanding the microbiome. Even cancer, apparently, they found from this that some types of cancer manage to cloak themselves by taking like resin or residue from certain types of bacteria and basically sneaking past your immune system and going and lodging itself into cells and hijacking them and creating tumors, but it cloaks itself by getting buddy-buddy with certain kinds of bacteria.
Cancer is a jerk.
Yes, cancer is a big-time jerk.
You know, we've kind of covered it here and there, but I could see more specific cancer podcasts in our future.
Sure. You know what?
Yeah.
So, like, so far we've done two that specifically got into the microbiome, but we've never done, like, a microbiome one.
Yeah.
So I think we should come back, like, a year from now and even more stuff is out and do, like, the microbiome.
Yeah, it seems like they're making breakthroughs at a pretty rapid pace.
Yes.
So in a year, everyone might be skinny.
Yeah.
Because of the microbiome pill.
Have you seen a picture of, like, an obese mouse next to, like, a skinny or normal-sized mouse?
Yeah.
It's pretty depressing.
It is. Sad mouse.
Okay, so I will see you here at the end of next April.
God willing.
For the microbiome one.
Yeah, deal.
All right, if you want to learn more about the human microbiome, you can type those words into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And I said howstuffworks.com, so it's time for the listener mail.
Josh, I'm going to call this response from a creationist.
Oh, okay.
We got a few of these.
Yeah.
Hey guys, listen to your podcast on natural selection and really enjoyed it. I'm a biologist who is a Christian and creationist. Natural selection is not what we disagree on. And when I say we, I mean most creationists. But of course, with every group, there are outliers. We agree with microevolution, changes that occur within the species, not macroevolution, species developed into a completely different species, which is what most people tend to associate with evolution. The only major differences between creationists and evolutionists is that we believe the Earth is between 6 and 10,000 years old, and again, excluding the outliers, and that all organisms were created in their basic form by our God. For example, we believe that everyone came from Adam and Eve, who through methods of natural selection evolved into the many nationalities we have today. Same thing with animals. We believe that a small number of species were created by our God, and all the forms we have today evolve through natural selection. So the only main difference that we have with evolutionists is the ultimate origin of species. The areas of evolution that we can see clearly occurring in front of our eyes, we agree with. It's the areas that evolutionists theorize about that we don't agree with. So while there are differences between creationism and evolution, there are actually more similarities. And that is Eric from South Bend, Indiana.
Thanks a lot, Eric. Very salient point.
Yeah. Biologist.
Yeah, I love it when like experts come out of the woodwork, especially when they're experts with a twist.
Yes, and we love being refuted and refuting and reading refutations, and we'll always read these things.
Refutation life.
That's right.
If you want to refute something we've said or agree with us or whatever, if you just want to get in touch about anything, you can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. We're on Pinterest. We're on Instagram. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@discovery.com. And you can hang out at our awesome clubhouse, our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.